This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're joined right now by Mark Bullock, one of the best covering the Washington Commanders. You can check out his film breakdowns at markbullock.substack.com. Give him a follow on the X app at Mark Bullock NFL. Mark, one thing that I've said with Jaden Daniels this year, and I don't say it as a disservice to Daniels, but more of a compliment to Cliff Kingsbury. For all of the hoopla we've heard over the past week about this offense regressing, and I think, you know, a lot of folks like yourself have debunked that here over the past 48 hours or so, I think he just deserves a ton of credit, you know, for what he has done to mesh the stuff he likes with what Jaden likes. When you look at from watching it on tape, the relationship that those two have and how comfortable he has made Jaden and how quarterback friendly this scheme is, has it surprised you in any way, kind of how they've been able to, you know, hit the ground running, so much so that we're panicking right now over, you know, two games against two really good defenses?
Yeah, it has surprised me. I think just the amount that the command that Jaden has of the system, yeah, of being able to do so much at the line of scrimmage is impressive for a rookie quarterback. Yeah. But to do so much out of the no huddle and the amount of the playbook they're able to get to from the no huddle, it's essentially able to call the entire playbook from the no huddle. It's almost unprecedented. Yeah. And it's a real fun thing to watch. It's surprising to see them almost never huddle and still be able to get to everything they want to get to, and that speaks to how well Jaden has learned the system and the command of it, being able to trust him to get everyone lined up and get everyone on the same page without having to get in the huddle and call the kind of 10 to 15 word play calls that you see in every other system. For him to just make a few hand signals and get everyone lined up and ready to go in a few seconds, it's incredibly impressive. And I think you can see the relationship that those two, the Cliff and Jaden, have managed to develop in how confident Jaden is in being able to change plays and at the line of scrimmage. And you quite often will see him check into things and, you know, sometimes it will be the shots down the field and you know, the game-winning touchdown against the Bengals, I think it was one that he checked into. The touchdown before the half against the Giants, that I think it was, that the fade to Terry McLaurin was one that he checked into. And even the run against the Steelers, I think, last week when Brian Robinson pounded one in from a few yards out. Or that might have even been against Philly this week. That was one that Jaden Daniels checked into. So
it's impressive stuff.
Yeah, it's incredibly impressive, and it's not something that a lot of rookie quarterbacks would be trusted to do. Yeah. But clearly, clearly, A, that Jaden has learned the system and understands when to check into things, that he has earned the trust. But it's also a credit to Cliff for giving him that trust, because there's a lot of coaches in this league that would have the ego of saying, I'm the play caller.
Yeah.
Stick with my plays. Don't mess up with what I'm calling. But credit to Cliff, he's saying, hey, I trust you. You clearly have a good grasp of this. And if you see something that we've kind of talked about in the week and you can get to it, go for it.
Mark, one other thing that has been a pleasant surprise, I don't know how surprised I actually am based on what I think about the guy, but, you know, a lot was made this summer about this receiving core not having enough, and then it led to some questions about, you know, where does Terry McLaurin rank amongst the number one wide receivers in the NFL? Going into this last week, I mean, he's top five in receiving yards, top five in receiving touchdowns. What have you seen from him this year on tape that's made him, you know, impressive and on pace for a career year? And then kind of like a two-parter here for you. Philadelphia showed Washington some coverages that really limited their ability to get him the football. Do you think that's something other teams can mimic, or is it just a credit and tip your hat to Philadelphia?
Yeah, so to start with the first part of that, I think Terry's largely being Terry McLaurin. I think it's just a case of he's finally got a quarterback that can consistently deliver him a good football. And so he has made some improvements, and he talks every offseason really well about, I'm focusing on this part of my game this offseason. And I think this year he was talking about developing his ability to win more at the top of his route. Because he found that some defenders were able to key in on some stuff at the top of the route, and he has been more consistent in that this year. But generally speaking, he's just being Terry McLaurin, he's just finally got a quarterback that can get on the ball consistently, and we're seeing the results of that. So that's great for him. In terms of how the Eagles played him, it is technically replicable because they pretty much just played quarters coverage. And when you play quarters coverage and the offense has to leave guys into chip and is only going to run two or three guys out in a route, or sometimes three or four guys out in a route. But for the most part, on Terry's side of the field, it was just Terry McLaurin running a route. Essentially, that quarters coverage becomes a bracket coverage, and then Terry becomes doubled. And I think Washington kind of recognized pretty early in the game that's how it was going to play out. And they tried to use McLaurin as kind of a decoy to occupy safeties and the corner at the same time and create space in the flat. And we saw some of that, you know, where Austin Ekeler had a couple of big runs after the catch where he was just catching the ball in the flat and had tons of space and picked up some yards. And in the fourth quarter, we saw John Bates get a couple of catches in the flat. And that's all because in quarters coverage, the whole point of quarters coverage is to play four guys deep and defend against deep shots. And the downside of that is that you're going to leave space underneath in the flat. So Washington tried to take advantage of that. And obviously they didn't do a good enough job of it consistently, but there were chances there. So, yes, I think teams could try to replicate that. I will say I don't think any team is going to play the quarters match stuff that the Eagles played anywhere near as well as the Eagles played it.
Yes, I agree.
That was as good as you will see quarters match coverage played in the NFL. It was very, very impressive from Philadelphia. So you have to give them credit for that. Yeah. I would think if other teams tried to play it to that degree, they would probably have one or two busts. Mm-hmm. But there were still opportunities to get Terry the ball, and they didn't quite take them. So it's not like he was completely shut down the entire game. But I don't think it's a game plan that will be replicated very easily because Philly just played that system very well, and Washington didn't have the guys after the catch to consistently make up for the fact that they were being left tons of space underneath.
Mark, I will let you go on this, my friend. I appreciate you giving us some time. Two more here before we let you go. This defense, Mark, I've been really impressed with really over the last 6-7 weeks. I have said it all week leading up into the Philadelphia game. I mean, it all depends on how they're going to choose to stop, you know, Philadelphia's offense. Could they get away with playing 8 in the box and going man-to-man up against a dynamic duo like Brown and Smith? From what you've seen from this defense and then that Philly game in particular, where do you think they're at right now amongst, you know, teams in the NFL on that side of the football? And I guess I'm asking, do you think this is a group that once you get Lattimore in here, that maybe you can begin to lean on if you hit some offensive potholes, so to speak?
I think there's still a few pieces away in terms of being a complete unit that can really dominate a game. I think they have got some better play out of guys than they would have been expecting. And I think the development of Sanders still on the outside has been really, really encouraging. I think they really like what they're getting out of their safety play, and they should, because Jeremy Chin's come along really well recently. And that has coincided with them starting to be able to play a little bit more man coverage and put him down in the box instead of having to play him deep constantly. So that has been encouraging. And Quan Martin's been pretty good from a deep safety perspective. So they do have some pieces that are falling into place now. But the Lattimore one could be a real big factor if he plays to the level that he can do. And the rest of the defense doesn't change as a result of that, then you're looking at a secondary that you can rely on to cover multiple receivers in man-to-man coverage and take away some options, and that will enable them to then start getting into some of the blitz packages that Quinn and Witt used a ton in Dallas that they haven't really been able to get into here in Washington because they've needed those guys to cover rather than rush. So I think if Lattimore can come in, get healthy, and play to the level that Lattimore is capable of, and Samra still keeps developing on the other side, then suddenly you can start thinking about, okay, we can start lending more guys to the blitz and generating more pressure and forcing the ball out quickly and putting guys in positions to get turnovers as a result. That's the style that they want to get to. But I do still think, you know, long term, that they're probably still wanting Sanders still to move back inside, and they still need another outside corner. So they're still a few pieces away from being a truly dominant defense, but they're on the right path, and it's been encouraging to see how well they've played, especially against two pretty good teams, as we said, the Steelers and the Eagles the past few weeks.
Yeah.
The defense has probably been the better side of the football, which at the start of the season, that was certainly not the case.
100% agree with you, my friend. Mark, I appreciate you giving us some time, as always, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Of course, anytime.
That is Mark Bullock, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Mark Bullock NFL, and check out his Substack at markbullock.substack.com. Always love catching up with Mark Bullock, one of the absolute best. When it comes down to breaking down the tape for the Washington Commanders, he's been doing it for a while, and he gives you some pretty detailed film reviews on his Substack, which you can go check out at markbullock.substack.com. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll switch things over to the Harwood Wizards. A little bit of a rest after Monday night's blowout, but the common theme remains the same. Monday night, they got blown out. 9 straight losses for the Washington Wizards. I give you my thoughts on the DC family. Plus, we'll hear from Brian Keefe and Kyle Kuzma next.